Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March 28th, 2026. Today is Saturday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Here ends the reading. Welcome to the last day of Lent. Tomorrow, Palm Sunday, is the first day of Holy Week. As we've walked together with Paul's writings over these last 5.5 weeks, I've been reminded over and over again of the Apostle's insistence that the little groups of believers he is shepherding through in-person teaching and long-distance writing are in and of themselves the body of Christ, incarnated in their own specific communities. While Paul is unafraid to dive into and confront directly the various conflicts that are a part of any gathering of humans, he does so not with an eye to somehow getting the local churches to be perfect for this world. No, his eye is always on the hope and the promise of resurrection. And for Paul, resurrection is not an end point, but rather a doorway to whatever the life of the Spirit has in store beyond this current reality. Whatever Paul may have thought about whatever is next, and he doesn't have much to say specifically, he is emphatic that somehow our present sufferings are preparatory. Paul is also clear that his ministry, and by extension, the ministry of every congregation, is to spread the word of God's grace to more and more people. Earlier this week, I was sitting in my local Starbucks reading a book when one of the regulars walked over, pulled out a chair, and without so much as saying hello, said, "Are there any Christians left who believe in the Golden Rule? For that matter, are there any Christians who believe that war is a bad idea? I mean, I'm an atheist, but it appears to me that all these Christians are hell-bent on killing people. And, well, they may have missed the point about what that Jesus guy was all about." I put my book down and replied, "You know, friend, there are plenty of Christians who still believe that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and that the Golden Rule is still valid." He grinned. Yeah, I know. But sometimes I just like to see if I can get a rise out of you." But seriously, between being angry and feeling helpless to make any difference in the world, sometimes I wonder why I even bother to care. I answered, "You know, you bother to care because you love your wife and your kids and your grandkids. You bother to care because you want a better world for them and for your friends and for the stranger on the other side of the world you've never met. You care because you know that even those folks we've been told are our mortal enemies have spouses and kids and grandkids." He paused for a moment. "Are you trying to convince me I'm a closet Christian?" I replied, "I'm not going to try to convince you of anything. All I will say is that from what I've seen, you're pretty intent on living that Golden Rule thing." Then, ever so briefly, he softened just a bit from the person that I usually see in the coffee shop, and he said, "But for the record, I'll never believe any of that otherworldly stuff." I looked at him, smiled, and said, "Look, my friend, one step at a time. Think about this. What if just for today you turned off your news feeds, took a walk with your wife, and called your kids and grandkids just to tell them you love them? Sure, the world will still go on, And yes, spending a day telling your loved ones you love them won't bring about world peace, but maybe you'll feel just a little more peaceful. My conversation partner got up, extended his hand for a parting handshake, and said, "I'll give it a try." "Good enough," I said. "Peaceableness has to be reborn in every moment, and it might as well begin with you and me. After all, before resurrection can begin out there in the future somewhere, we have to recognize it right here in this world." Then my friend's impish grin returned. "There you go again, Gary. You just have to be a Christian, don't you?" Guilty as charged. I don't know if my Starbucks buddy will ever come to the sort of faith that has buoyed me through the years, but every time I speak with him, I can't help but think he has plenty of faith, even if it isn't expressed in the language of the church. It's in conversations like that one where I can see the ways that God's grace washes over this entire world and oozes into the tiny cracks of even the most hardened of hearts. In the end, all I can do, all any local church can do, is remain faithful to the good news that has been entrusted to us. I don't know what the eternal weight of glory will feel like, but I do believe God's glory gets refracted in countless ways in the daily lives of people who are willing to be channels of grace, even if they don't know it. As Paul put it, our outer natures are wasting away, but our inner natures are being renewed day by day. This week, I give thanks for a quiet conversation in a local Starbucks between two acquaintances. It didn't bring about world peace, but it did give me a glimpse into what it means to have a gritty hope, which refuses to succumb to narratives of anger, vitriol, and fear. Because, after all, those narratives of anger, vitriol, and fear don't get the last word. The very fact we can hear them means they're already passing away. Because what Paul said to the Corinthians is true. What can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Let us pray. O God, the source of eternal light, send forth your unending day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our worship on the morrow give you glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.